That's right. Fight and power through it. Welcome to the Hagmann Report. It is Monday, January 13, 2025. I'm Doug Hagmann. Glad to be back. Thanks so much for your belief, your trust. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers, too. Just real quick, an explanation of my absence. You know, after the show Monday night, everything was fine. I was packing things up, and I was actually leaving the studio, and in about 15 seconds, I thought I could have sworn I got hit with a, you know, on Star Trek, you know, phasers on stun. Well, that's kind of, it was like, holy, what the heck? I just felt bad, like in 15 minutes from the show to 15 minutes after the show. And by, I don't know, within like 3-4 hours, I was just a mess. I mean, I was a mess. And anyway, I had lost all, essentially all my, I mean, it was like somebody just dumped me on the couch and just left me there.
Come on, so, man.
Joe, what can I tell you? I mean, I wasn't up for fighting corn pop. I'll tell you that. So then my wife, God bless her, you know, I don't believe in COVID tests and all that junk. I couldn't fight her. There's no way I could, like, you know, I was that out of it. And of course it came back, you know, triple positive. I was pregnant with COVID, and I was going to pee on the stick, but pee on the testing thing, but she wouldn't allow that. Yeah, so we're gonna have a gender reveal. So immediately, I mean, right? I mean, even before that, I started popping ivermectin, and I have to say, even though I sound a little rough, I gotta say I'm feeling pretty doggone good. And it's only really almost 7 days, but I'm feeling pretty good. So. There's that. So thanks for your thoughts and prayers. And I do believe the immediate attention to the symptoms. I think that makes all the difference in the world. And as I thought about that, I thought about Russ and others, you know, Russ and his wife. And I thought about a buddy of mine here when these doctors failed or would not prescribe certain medications. You know, it's more than shame on them. They have blood on their hands. They have death on their hands. And it pisses me off to think that lives could have been saved. Now, look, I don't, you know, I'm just saying that anyone who was denied immediate treatment and sent home to die, sent home and then come into the hospital to die, they should be, and I do hope this is the case, where RFK and President Trump, they really make the effort to try, put these people on trial, that is, and charge them, put them on trial, convict them. And if they're found guilty, and I'm talking about criminal charges of manslaughter, negligent homicide, criminally negligent homicide, or something to that effect, even premeditated murder, if the facts warrant that, I'm telling you right now, the more I rested, if you will, the more angry I got, and the more angry I got, the worse I started to feel. So anyway, but I do believe there's a whole boatload of payback necessary. And even if we start at like the local level, because I've got some people, doctors I know, who should be charged criminally. All right. I got a lot of news to get into. I miss you guys. I miss doing the show. I miss the people in chat. That's right. I missed you guys. I'm glad you're with me. All right.
They don't miss me doing the show.
Oh, you know what? I don't say that. I got a whole bunch of emails. You have your own fan club out there. I'm telling you, what the heck happened here? What did I just do wrong? Oh, okay. Hang on a minute. All right, there we go. Yeah.
Stop pushing buttons.
I know. You were saying, yeah, they do miss you, and I'll tell you what, they love you. So, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. But I do like I never mind. I'm not going to go there. All right. I was sent a gentleman by the name, the first name of David. Great guy. And David, if you're listening, thank you so much for your sending this to me. You know, we had an author on the show, James Perloff, a great guy. He's written a number of books. The guy is really, really intelligent. But David M. sent me this. And the title of this is Should We Beware the Ides of April? Now, obviously, everyone knows about the Ides of March. But this is at jamesperloff.net, folks. And all of the information will be in the program description guide. All you have to do is go to Hagman PI, click on the headline, and then underneath that, you'll see all of the links that are cited that we cite or use. Now, he writes this: as a rule, I almost never make predictions. It seldom pays. And believe me, that is true. Now, there are some predictions that aren't really predictions. They're just reasoned analysis. But I read this article and I thought, nah, you know what? I want to lead off with this. I believe in the next 159 hours, which is between now and the time President Trump is inaugurated, I believe it's a dangerous time. I believe the day of his inauguration is a dangerous time. I'm not too keen, by the way, on him having a party the night before or the weekend before, but we cannot live our lives in fear. But this article here goes beyond all of that. And let's start taking a look at, you know, the worst and best case scenarios, the possibilities. And the title itself kind of got me. Okay, the Ides of April. We heard of the Ides of March, but what about April? And he writes that April is the first warm season month. Just as great armies have historically waited for winter's end to begin campaigns, spring is the ideal time to commence a long period of rioting and violence. January through March, generally too cold for that, right? Why do I discuss rioting? He writes. Over 10 million illegals entered the U.S. under Biden. Now, that number, I believe, is much higher than that, but we'll go with that for the moment. The majority, as in Europe, are young males of military recruiting age. Illegals outnumber the U.S. military 6-1. Although I've seen a few MAGA people say on social media that it will be easy to deport them, I can't agree. And if you think about this, folks, think about the massive deportation. For 1 million, let alone 10 million, or 20 million. Can it be done? Absolutely. Is it going to be easy? No. But anyway, he writes that Massachusetts, Colorado, Illinois, New York, and other blue states have vowed to resist deportation by illegals by the Trump administration. This portends a very ugly situation that may border on civil war. Are Democratic governors, will they conceal the illegals? And I'm paraphrasing, of course, but will they order the police and perhaps even the National Guard not to cooperate with or even interfere with federal authorities? One can easily imagine, he writes, a situation comparable to the George Floyd riots of 2020, backed by George Soros, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa, might start burning cities down to protest deportations as racist. Okay. All right. I can see that. In this, they would probably be joined by many illegal, many illegals themselves, who would want to keep all of the freebies they got or they're getting from the American taxpayers. So the riots might be exacerbated by a George Floyd type incident. And you can imagine, folks, any kind of, it's like an ICE agent killing innocent looking illegal, massive coverage by TV. George Floyd on steroids again and again and again. Other factors might compound the situation. The U.S. deficit keeps soaring, with payments on the debt now the second biggest item in the federal budget, even exceeding defense allocations. And he cites Robert Kennedy in this article. And I should add, from September of this year, interest on U.S. debt tops $1 trillion for the first time. Every 100 days, $1 trillion in interest is added to our debt. This is unsustainable. Absolutely unsustainable. Now, I'm getting to the point here, or he is, I should say. Inflation and job losses are much greater than government reports admit, even though BlackRock and Vanguard have sent the Dow Jones Industrial Average to new heights. I'm going to skip through the more on the debt here, because he does get to the point where, what if an economic collapse were to happen concurrent with illegal riots, riots by illegals? What if that would happen? A perfect storm could happen if they also coincided with Klaus Schwab's predicted cyber attack. So on July 19th, 2024, the largest global IT outage in history occurred, causing massive disruption of services. I don't know how many people remember this. This is just last July. Now, it was blamed on a faulty software update from the cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike. Yeah, okay. Not so much, maybe. But here's the part that got me. And look, I believe they believe, the enemy believes, in the significance of dates. I believe that 100%. It has nothing to do with numerology either, and that's what Mr. Perloff is saying. But there's one day in particular, and you know this day, folks, that concerns me this year. Of course, April 19. It's a favorite date for policy disasters and false flags. FDR announced that he was taking America off the gold standard. That's right, April 19th, 1933, Waco, where 76 people, including 20 children, that massacre occurred on April 19th, 93. April 19th will also be the 30th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, it's accepted that 168 people were killed that day. It's actually 169 because one was pregnant, one woman was pregnant, and that was back in 95. 30 years. Does that feel like 30 years? And Gunderson had said, and Ted Gunderson, a special FBI agent who is now, I believe, passed. And anyway, he said the bombing was intended to foment the Patriot Act legislation, and its failure to do so helped prompt the 9/11 attacks. Is that true? Well, that's what he said. So could it be? Possibly. I think there's more to it than that. So April 19 and September 11 are almost mirrors of each other on the calendar. If you have an old-time yearly calendar, put it out, and you can see what I'm talking about there. September 11th, falling 111 days before December 31st and April 19th, falling 109 days after, or 110 during leap years. But there was one specific anniversary he writes on April 19th that troubles him the most, and it's the exact 250th anniversary of the shot heard around the world, fired at approximately 5 a.m. on the morning of April 19th, 1775 in Lexington, Massachusetts, which is a town he grew up in. Folks, I would urge you to read the entire article. I'm telling you, read the entire article, because it has other tidbits in there, which I think you'll find very interesting. All right, there's that. All right, so this week, I want to put up, if you can, Eric the Tick, if you can put up one of the two first images attached to the show prep. This week, of course, we have some things going on. And pay very close attention to this, if you don't mind, folks, because it there's some things that are going to be happening, and people are going to be looking at the Trump cabinet selections. Let me see if I can open this up here. No, I guess I can't. You can see, folks, you can see there they are, Trump cabinet nominees awaiting Senate confirmation hearings. Very, very, very important week for these nominations, because let me see here. I'm a little bit behind on my preview monitor, so I apologize for that. As we see, though, look who's coming up on tomorrow. Okay. You've got Pete Hegseth, Doug Burgum, Doug Collins. Pete Hegseth, of course, the big one for Department of Defense. And then on the 15th, the day after tomorrow, you've got Kristi Noem as the ODNI. And others, Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Radcliffe, CIA Director. You got some pretty big heavyweights. And it goes on from there. Real Joy writes, are we going to be live for the inauguration? Yeah, I think we will. I think we will. I might not be, but you guys know. But watch that, which the stuff that's going on there. I do want to touch on the fires here, because I had some time, obviously, to do research. By the way, I did not feel like doing research for... really through Sunday. I was like, whoa. My wife was dusting around the furniture, and she dusted me off occasionally. It's all right. Me and Lady, the studio dog, she was sitting next to me pretty much the whole time. But you've seen these videos. I'm sure you have. When you look at the LA fires right now, this has got to remind you as well of the Maui fires. This has got to... Billy Joel, right? Didn't start the fire. You didn't. Do you have an alibi? But right now we are into... we are into 40,000 acres destroyed by fire. That is larger than the city of Boston, destroyed by fire. Estimated right now, 13,000 actually, structures burned. 24 people confirmed dead. The numbers are going to be much more than that. Do you know that they caught somewhere between, and I can't get a confirmation on this, somewhere between 70 and 100 arsonists just in that area alone, over the last several days. And it blows my mind. One, and you've probably seen this on social media, one arsonist carrying a blowtorch. Is that what they call it? Yeah, blowtorch, right? For welding. Starting fires. The citizens held this guy. He was obviously not from the U.S. And they didn't charge him. They charged him on a separate count of a parole violation. But they didn't charge him with arson or attempted murder. Think about that. Why not? This is Los Angeles. You can attribute this to potentially being morons out there in charge, the people in charge as being morons. And there's a case to be made that they are morons. In fact, cut three, video three, just to show you how bad this is. I'm sure you've seen this, but I just want to play this for myself and show you this in case you haven't seen this. You know, we talk about Biden, who is the Ron Burgundy of presidents, right?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Oh, man, it hurts even to laugh. I mean, when you think about this, when you think about how, I don't even have a word for it. If we can go to cut three, Karen Bass, the mayor of New York, of Los Angeles, and there's another video I'm sure you saw, but I got a lot of joy out of it. But here's Karen Bass reading the placeholder URL right off of, right during her press conference. And first of all, you wouldn't think you would need a teleprompter, number one. Number two, you would think that reading the word URL or the abbreviation, the acronym URL, you would think that it would register and she'd say, well, hang on a second. Hey, crew, team, people, what's the friggin' URL so we can get these people help? No, she just continues. Pause. Right through.
Pause. Resume.
Quote. It's maddening, but there's a kind of a better, this, the other video will leave you in a better mood. And then I'm going to knock your mood down a bit by telling you about the real Karen Bass. Here's the URL speech, press conference. This is cut three.
Build stronger than ever. Right now, if you need help, emergency information, resources, and shelter is available. All of this can be found at URL. Los Angeles, together, is how we will get through this. Through the heroism of our firefighters.
Okay. The stupidity. And no one calls her out on it. Hey, wait a second. Where are we supposed to go? We type in URL?
This platform and donate by going to URL.
I'm surprised she didn't say URL. Oh my gosh. But here's the bad news. By the way, this is cut seven. Did you, Eric the Tech, were you able to, the yellow highlight, were you able to do that? Or can you just bump over that?
I'm just seeing that, so I'll have to bump over it.
All right, just be real, real careful. You know, I don't know who put this together. It's true, but somebody put a very blasphemous 2 seconds in here. I want to make sure it's cut out. All right, here's cut seven, up to a minute 15. This is Karen Bass. I mean, this is who Karen Bass is. And this also relates to Newsom as well, and other leaders in L.A. and really all across the United States. All right, I'll shut up now. Here's Cut 7.
November 7, 1983. Remember this date, but first, let me introduce you to Karen Bass. Back in the 1970s, community activist Karen Bass went on at least 15 trips to Cuba, many with a group known as the Venceremos Ramos Brigade, a Marxist group started by the Castro regime to subvert American interests, weaken democracies, and spread communism around the world. Founded in 1969, the Venceremos Ramos Brigade organized trips to Cuba every year for half a century. They attracted the most radicalized and delusional segments of the American left, including overtly Maoist and pro-Soviet communist groups. In fact, a Los Angeles police investigator who infiltrated the group testified to Congress saying that to be a member of the brigade, you had to be confirmed as a Marxist-Leninist. As a brigadista and then moving up the ranks to organizer for the Venceremos Brigade, Karen Bass visited Cuba every 6 months. Their mission? To radicalize young, impressionable American leftists in terrorist tactics and guerrilla warfare. Members of the Venceremos Brigade were even taught how to make bombs. Bass admits, on her many pilgrimages to Cuba, she went to see Fidel Castro several times, even calling him charismatic. And upon his death, praised him, saying, "The passing of Comandante en Jefe is a great loss to the people of Cuba, even though the people of Cuba see him as a dictator who impoverished their island." Another group, the M19, took its belief in revolutionary anti-imperialism to extremes, violent extremes. The M19 was the first and only women-created and women-led domestic terrorist group. Since their founding in 1978, M19's tactics escalated from robbing armored trucks and abetting prison breaks to building their own explosives and carrying out terrorist bombings. From 1983 to 1984, M19 bombed an FBI office, the Israel Aircraft Industries building, the South African consulate in New York, DC's Fort McNair, and Navy Yard, which they bombed twice. But that wasn't enough for them. On the night of November 7, 1983, the M19 called the U.S. Capitol switchboard and warned them to evacuate the building. Minutes later, the M19 bombed the north wing of the U.S. Capitol. November 7, 2023 marks 40 years since the M19's bombing of the U.S. Capitol. Members of the M19, like Susan Rosenberg, traveled to Cuba with and were radicalized by the Venceremos Brigade. The South Los Angeles Venceremos Brigade was led by Karen Bass, who is now mayor of Los Angeles.
So, do you get it now? Folks, have you... In the chat, I'm going to watch the chat for a second. Have you seen that before? Did you know of Karen Bass's Marxist history? And how many people remember that bombing in the North Capitol or North part of the Capitol in November of 83? We had footage of that on this program before. I'm just curious. Anyone in the chat? No? Okay. Myra, thank you for your response. A lot of people don't understand that we have Marxists, we have communists in this running things in this country. The people of the city of Los Angeles elected a Marxist as a mayor. So my question then, do you folks, do you see that these things can happen with nefarious intent, these wildfires? It ain't good. Now, if you look at Newsom's background and his family relations, and look at his background, you will find similar, although not as radically, overtly radical, parts of his background. Folks, we have to expose these Marxists. And thank you for answering honestly in there, because a lot of people don't realize. And I love to read a lot. I mean, I just have tons of books and I read all the time. And what is what is in printed books, especially the books that are not new. You go back into the 90s and read some of the books, even go back into the 60s for a better education. You're going to see that McCarthy, during the when he was senator and during the McCarthy hearings, as well as the House, the comparable House on American Activities Committee, you're going to see that we have been infiltrated ever since, really, during World War II and post-World War II. You know, a lot of people don't realize, and this is kind of a side, jogging off of the side here a little bit, people don't realize that there were three Nazis coming from a Nazi submarine that actually made it onto Long Island and were caught by citizens. Did you know that? Three Nazis. I mean, I'm talking uniformed Nazis made it onto Long Island during World War II. They were captured by citizens, and they dead.
They just wanted some iced tea.
I get it now. Long Island iced tea. A little slow. I'm still a little slow in the uptake, but that was a good one.
I'm a little slow.
Oh, man. Swing low, sweet chariot. Okay. So, you know, and...
Please don't swing low.
It's already swinging low. No, never mind. Okay. Also, during World War II, people don't realize this, the Japanese sent up a lot of incendiary balloons. Many of them, well, not many, a number of them. I'm trying to remember if it was in the triple digits or not, made it to the Pacific Northwest and exploded and caused some fires as well. Anyway, just so people know, you know, that we have a history of being attacked, invaded. So what about these fires? What about these wildfires? I got to doing some research on that. But before I do, this should anger every person really on the planet, or every freedom-loving person. But most assuredly should anger the people who had lost property, people, pets, and everything in the fires that we're seeing in Los Angeles. And no, by the way, I have not forgotten about Maui. No, I have not forgotten about Helene, what it's doing right now. It's still what's happening in North Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee. I haven't forgotten about that. And Milton and things. We were still dealing with all of this, which I'll get to with Randy Taylor in hour two. But I'm sure you've seen this, and if you haven't, be prepared. David Blevins is a reporter for Sky News, and how many people saw this when Karen Bass left Los Angeles to attend the presidential inauguration in Ghana. On the day of the fires, no less. You can't make this up. But when she did that, David Blevins from Sky News was able to shag her. That's probably not the right word, but shag her in a jet way. Did you see this, folks? Did you see this? I watched this. And
you got a nice bass.
Go bass fishing. I'd throw that one back.
No, stick that one in the cooler.
Well, that's true. Use it as chum. But I saw this and I thought, my word, the hubris of this person. At first I thought maybe in my haze, I wasn't hearing her responses. But alas, there were none. You've got to play this. This shows you the real Karen Bass, Marxist extraordinaire. This is cut four in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. Click on the title, open it up, and you'll see all the show prep there, except when no one submits it. Then that's a problem, but I digress. I'm just channeling Eric the Tech from that. Here's cut four.
Madam Mayor, David Blevins from Sky News in the UK. Fire chiefs say that they're really stretched to the limit and running out of water. What have you got to say to that? Have you no response to that? Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them? Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Can you rewind that for a minute? We're right up to.
No apology for them.
Okay.
Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
Now watch. Watch the woman on the left with a bandage on her face. Okay. Here they go. Boom. Get the hell out of my way. I'm trying to get away from this guy.
Madam Mayor, let me ask you just again, have you anything to say to the citizens today as you return?
Hold on one second.
She cannot get the hell out of there fast.
Madam Mayor, just a few words for the citizens today as you return to deal with the catastrophe.
Almost into a sprint. Okay, folks, what's your reaction to her? In my view, just in my view, that she is the scum of the earth. You have 24 people dead. Now, I realize at the time this was taken, the death toll was not that, and wasn't certainly, I don't believe they were even talking about a death toll, but you knew it was coming. Look at the hubris of that Marxist. You cannot hate these people enough because they hate you more. They have contempt for every person on the planet except themselves. This is one person I want to see in cuffs, or I want to see hang, in my view, hanging from a lamppost by the neck. Given her Marxist roots. Oh, and by the way, is she ever going to answer to the November 1983 bombing of the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol? Is she ever going to answer for that?
URL.
Yeah, go to the URL. You talk about phoning it in. I have nothing more to say. I'll tell you what, though, folks, make sure you grab today's show notes and make sure you watch again cut seven, the communist roots of that, whatever that is. And when you start looking at the leadership of LA, In most major cities in blue states, you can see that they're nothing but communist scumbags that hate you, that hate your very existence. You know how crazy this is as well? Page three in the show notes. You would think that help, assistance for the people in Los Angeles would be welcomed with open arms, right? You would think that. Can you believe this? This is, let me pull this up here. My apologies for not being 100%. This is, what did I say it was, page three? Yeah. Sacramento. They stop Sacramento stops 60 Oregon fire trucks sent to assist California. You know why they stopped them? Because they lacked the smog certificates. What the hell? Are you out of your friggin' mind? You're going to stop out-of-town fire trucks because, oh, well, they're not, you know, they could contribute to the smog. This is one of the reasons why you've got the problems in California that you do, and New York that you do, and any blue state. What in the hell is wrong with you people who keep voting for this and vote for this and allow this? If I was driving one of those rigs, do you think I'd stop by Sacramento to, you know, get a letter of approval? No.
Doesn't fire create smog?
Well, no. We're talking about climate change. Well, the fire produced, or the fire was caused by climate change, you see. And of course, we cannot add to that by having fire trucks who don't pass a smog test. Man, if I was driving one of those rigs, I certainly wouldn't stop, like I said, in Sacramento. And I don't think I'd just, if they, you know what? I'd just say, stick it in your backside. Mm-hmm. You want to do this, then I'm not going to do this. It's almost like they're trying to kill people. Maybe they are, because video 8, which is only 14 seconds long, the LA sheriff, you know, look, sometimes I use words. I don't know. I have a mind blip and, you know, a word might come in and it's the improper usage of that word. But using the word depopulation in my studying of behavioral, you know, the courses on behavioral analysis, and sometimes people do say the quiet part out loud. It's a thing. It does happen. Sometimes people will try to correct it. But check this 14-second video out of this Los Angeles sheriff, what he says in a press conference. Here it is.
And every conversation we're having about evacuations, that depopulation conversation is continuously coming up. That depopulation conversation is continuously coming up.
It strains credulity, in my view, that he would use that word for evacuation or for getting people out of an area. You don't substitute the word depopulation unless really that word came up and we are talking about depopulation. I think that's the case. And real quick, a little bit more on the fires, and then I know Randy Taylor's on deck. Randy Taylor, by the way, I think he's waiting. Yes, he's on deck right now. I'm honored that he's joining us. I did catch on Saturday, Saturday, Sunday morning, the Friday show. And that's when I learned of your upcoming surgery. And wow, a lot of stuff. So, Randy, let me bring you in now, and then we'll go through the rest. How you feeling, brother?
More of the question is, how are you feeling, man?
Hey, feeling great, man. I really am. Oh yeah, I am. I'm telling you right now, the alternative treatment. What's that?
You're lying through your teeth.
No. I sound worse than I look. Yeah.
Okay.
I sound worse than I feel.
That strain of this crap that's been going around, buddy. I know exactly what you were talking about.
Like I said, I felt like I got beat up by somebody with a bag of oranges and softballs, man. But anyway, yeah, but the alternative treatments, ivermectin.
Soap in a sock.
quarters. felt more like it. But I'm serious. You know, it really angered me as I'm sitting there and I'm getting better. I could feel myself getting stronger, getting better, you know, more focused. And look, I'm only a week into this, okay? And you know what? I'll tell you what. Maybe it wasn't, it was a positive thing. But I don't know. All I know is there's some doctors that have some splaining to do, mm-hmm. okay? And it really angers me when early treatment was denied and people died. They need to answer for what they've done. But anyway, it's good to see you.
Brother. It's good to be here. I was looking forward to tonight.
Well, I want to show you and I want to show the people. This is kind of, you might think, people might say, look at this and say, oh man, why are you showing this? This is from I believe it's like a 28-minute video. I have three cuts from this video. Folks, I don't know how many people remember this. Now, I was a graduate of the California Fire School back in 78, 77, 78. And I remember seeing a lot of documentaries, not California, but California, Pennsylvania. Anyway, so I remember seeing a lot of documentaries during that whole course, which was, I think it was, man, I can't remember. It's like 50 years ago almost. I think it was 3 weeks or 2 weeks. Anyway, I might have even seen this one. This is from 1962. I don't know how many people remember the Bel Air Brentwood wildfire that started on November 5th, 1961 in the Bel Air community nearby Los Angeles. That fire lasted for 3 days, only 3 days. It destroyed 484 homes. This made big news. I mean, this is a big deal back in 62. It caused damage to almost 200 others. And burned over 16,000 acres. Now that's, again, this is 62. And think about the improvements that should have been made to the infrastructure that weren't. By the way, there was no loss of life attributed to this fire. But I'll tell you something. This caught my attention. There's three cuts. I don't think I'll play them all. But just to get the feel of what we're dealing with and that this is not something new, that this could have been avoided had we not had decades upon decades upon decades of just no one giving a damn, no one doing their jobs. Oh, yes, and throwing Marxists into positions of leadership. This is video two. We'll go to cut A. Cut A is just about 3 minutes, 50 seconds long. Here it is.
thrive when there has been no rain. It is during this unstable period that firemen most fear the potential. The potential of 134 square miles of thick, dry chaparral and oak, all within the city boundaries of Los Angeles, classed by experts as the fastest burning ground cover in the Western Hemisphere. And nestled in that cover, one of the greatest concentrations of high-value homes in America. A serious problem in fire protection under even the best of conditions. On the morning of November 6, 1961, fire department dispatchers find conditions far from the best. Santa Ana winds are strong, gusty. Humidity and moisture content of the brush rock bottom. Fire danger extreme. At 8:03 a.m., a condition of high hazard is declared throughout the department. Standby companies are moved up to stations near brush areas to strengthen the circle of protection. But even as they move, trouble strikes. At 8:15, an alert of fire is relayed to the officer in command of mountain firefighting units.
Mountain Patrol and all units concerned. They reported brush fire in the mountain area, 3,600 blocks Stone Canyon.
The division chief responds immediately. Clouds of brush smoke are already visible on the ridge. The chief calls for additional companies. The fire, starting from its point of origin north of Mulholland on Stone Canyon, spreads out along canyon walls in three directions. First arriving units succeed in stopping it on the north, east, and west flanks before it reaches threatened homes. But there is no stopping it on the south. Winds are driving the flames fast and hard toward Mulholland. The chief declares a condition of major emergency. The master plan of defense against a serious brush fire begins. Support from air tankers is requested. 15 additional engine companies roll out. All key personnel are alerted and special mountain firefighting equipment dispatched. Deputy and division chiefs move up to take command of field units as radio messages crackle in.
Yeah, fire is over the top. It's heading straight down Stone Canyon.
Engine 31, 45, 46, and 67 move directly into the fire.
Fire has jumped Mulholland at the crest of the Santa Monicas, headed toward Bel Air. To these men, brush fires are routine, but this one is pushing them hard. The flames take a run along the canyon slopes, heading uphill toward the ridges. Firemen with high-pressure hose streams knock the fire down as it tries to make the jump as it did over Mulholland. But in the canyon between, along the wide sweep of fire front traveling unchecked with the wind, there lies the problem. Rough terrain impedes fire crews in meeting the flames head-on. Fire fans out to sweep up canyon walls, threatening residential areas ahead. Chief Engineer William Miller arrives at Command Post Headquarters to take charge of fire operations. A quick size-up of conditions prompts him to order everything available into the fire. Time is vital. Fire is spreading, growing by the minute. Air tankers sweep in. Fire danger is compounded by ground winds, the Santa Ana, driving through at 50 miles an hour to hurl burning brands ahead of the main front. 100, 200, 300 feet ahead, other blazes are starting, spot fires that appear from nowhere. All off-duty firemen are recalled.
Okay. Let's go to cut C.
Wow.
Yeah, again, folks, 1962, this was made. I think we'll go there instead. We'll go right to cuts. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to cut B. I put that in there for a reason. I don't know what it is at the moment, but let's all find out together, shall we? Cut B. Go ahead.
There is no clearly defined fire front. It's as if an enemy force had suddenly launched a paratroop attack behind the lines of defense. Sector chiefs attempt to maintain order where sectors no longer exist. Flames loom up in scores of homes on scores of streets. Firemen fight in smoke-imposed darkness throughout the fire areas. Some have no water. Others have. In their concentration on the jobs at hand, none can know that four new crises are taking form. 6 miles northwest in a remote area of Santa Ynez Canyon, a second major brush fire has broken loose, destroyed 9 homes, and is racing toward the main fire to eventually blacken 10,000 acres. Companies are pulled from Upper Stone Canyon to help county units fight the new blaze. In Benedict Canyon, 1/2 mile east, another brush fire is deliberately set.
Arsonist.
As ground crews respond, an air tanker is directed in ahead of their arrival to delay the fire's progress. And in Brentwood, a third crisis. 1.5 miles west of furiously burning Bel Air, a completely unexpected phenomenon takes place. Thousands of firebrands are literally dumped from the skies on this heretofore untouched section. In residential areas and hills above, the embers spread. From 60 to 70 fires suddenly blaze up, as if an aerial incendiary attack had been launched. Vitally needed equipment must be pulled from critical areas and diverted to this new front. At the same time, a fourth emergency hits. Clouds of sparks soar high over the new 600-foot San Diego freeway complex to envelop ridges of West Sepulveda Canyon. As fire in the space of a few minutes leaps the largest man-made firebreak in the city. Controlling this host of new fires seems hopeless. Everything possible is being thrown into the path of a conflagration that will not stop. The county, civil defense, and neighboring municipalities are taxing their own fire defense to the utmost in this fight against time and a 20-mile perimeter of sweeping flame. Men do not know where the fire stops or where it begins, or how far it will go, or how much longer. Moraga, Kenter Canyon, Bundy, Tagetail. Too many streets, too many homes, too many fires for only 3,000 men to fight. And to these men, the whole thing seems unreal. This is the heat that will not cool. Water that will not quench.
Okay, if you can go to cut C, and we'll end it with cut C. The reason, again, a lot of common factors here. Obviously, they did not have, the mayor at that time was not in Guyana, or not in Africa. Yes, hydrants ran out of water. I'll tell you what, folks, if you're interested, this is video 2, and it's the story of the Bel Air conflagration, 1962, in the show notes. Watch the entire thing, because it does explain how fire skips, you know, can skip one house and hit another. It explains the dynamics of fire, why fire will accelerate on the way up a hillside as opposed to on the way down. Okay. There's a lot of great information here. And this documentary, interestingly, I found it, and I found that LA Fire Department put this up on their website a year ago. But this fire was studied long and hard. And I do remember there were commissions, or I read where there were a commission that was formed in order to make sure this never happened again, especially, you know, water diversion into the hydrants and such, that should have been fixed 50 or 60 flipping years ago. So you have 60 years plus of mismanagement of add to that Marxist rule. And these people, again, as I've said often, they'll burn the whole friggin' place down just to rule over the ashes. And by the way, if you looked at the type of people that were fighting this fire, I don't think anyone gave a damn if they were homos or LGBTQR, SVP people, or trans or whatever. No. There are men there doing their job. under almost impossible circumstances.
That is a badass job.
Yeah.
That's a tough job.
So, Archie, that was 60 years ago, 63 years ago.
You think they would have learned something?
You think? Yeah.
You would absolutely think. The management, the forest management in California sucks. It's beyond, yeah. It beyond sucks. Okay. There's a lot of questionable things here, in my opinion. When you were gone, the one night the night that I had to call in and I couldn't come on the show, I had already prepared show notes. And while I was going through and pulling this and pulling that and pulling this, I'm looking at this map of California and I'm looking at the map and I'm looking at the fires.
Yeah.
So I'm digging on a little further, digging in there. And then I looked at the map for the proposed transit system.
Oh, yeah.
Derek, you want to throw those up on the screen?
You're going to have to give him a minute to grab them.
This is, nobody's really, you remember a few years back, Doug, when they had a proposed railway system in California?
Yeah, the high-speed rail to nowhere. Yeah.
Bingo. But we had those fires that were just, the houses were incinerated, the yep. cars were incinerated, and the trees were fine.
It matched.
It was a perfect overlay.
You got it. And when you look at Agenda 2030, the Los Angeles LA 2028 goals, you know, the 15-minute cities, all of this, it matches perfectly.
Yeah. And they're talking about now in the areas where all this fire has been, they canceled these people's homeowner insurance. Canceled it, yanked it right out from under them.
But look, let's you and I talk about this because I don't fault the insurance companies on this.
There's one of the pictures. All right, there's an outlay of the major fires.
Okay.
Okay, and you can see them. And then if we put and when Eric grabs the other picture and puts it up there, it's going to be amazing, the outline of what you're going to look at. And I randomly ran into it while I was looking for other stuff about the fire. And I just happened to hit the one on the proposed railway. And I was like,
yeah, I've got no doubt in my mind that there's something else going on here, but
there's something big going on here, Doug.
In my view, we cannot look at Maui and LA. Well,
that's concentrated. If you back that picture out, it lines up with the other one fantastically.
Yeah.
As far as where it's right in with the coastline. The part that blew me away is this fire went right up to the sea.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It burned right up to the ocean. And I was just like, and the more you look at it and the empty reservoir. I just, there was an empty reservoir that should have been holding like 117 million gallons.
117 million gallons. That reservoir was empty since February of last year.
Yes. And there's no reasonable, acceptable explanation for that.
That's correct.
None.
Now, the Department of Water would have to answer to that, I believe. But, yes, you're exactly right on this.
Investigation opened up into this because there's something very wrong here.
And not Newsom's investigation. Come on.
No.
You cannot investigate yourself. It's going to have to be independent. But with respect to the insurance carriers, the insurance carriers warned the state of California. They said there's the one reservoir, 117,000 or 117 million gallons empty since February 2024.
Amazing.
Now, again, the insurance carriers, again, I'm not defending them at all. I'm just explaining understanding. Okay, So you have the state of California telling the insurance companies that they are not allowed to adjust their rates.
Oh, yeah, they can't raise their premiums.
They can't raise premiums. They can't adjust their rates consistent with the threat. So, in other words, you know, everyone has homeowners insurance. And it's sometimes, I know, I haven't seen this happen in a long time, but sometimes you'll have an inspection more commercial than residential, where you might have somebody from the insurance company come out and do a risk assessment. And hey, if you've got like a problem, you either have to fix that problem or we're going to have to raise your rates.
Right.
Now consider that on a statewide level, you're going to have to fix the forestation, the thick forestation, get rid of that, mitigate that problem. And you might want to bury some of these lines, power lines that are subjected to the winds.
Yeah.
Okay. But on course, we cannot cover the losses. We will be bankrupt if we cannot raise or adjust the rates, raise the rates accordingly. And California said, no, you can't do that. We don't have to do a thing, but you can't do that. So they said, okay, well, we have to cancel and back out of covering your biggest exposure. So, hey, it's just the way it is. I agree with it, don't agree with it. I'm just telling you how it went down.
Well, you're in business to make money. That's why you're in business. The timing was strange.
Everything is strange on this.
Yeah,
you know, with really 6.5 days before President Trump gets in office, I really believe that a lot of things that are taking place are deliberate. And again, before you came on, I mentioned that not quite 100, but gaining on 100 people have been arrested for arson in that area.
Yep.
So, okay, who are these people? Inquiring minds want to know. Or are they just, you know, mentally ill? Or is there a subset of an army doing this?
The few names that we have gotten a hold of are foreign names.
Yeah.
And like one, Smith or Watson or, you know what I mean? And when you look at some of these characters, they look exactly like what's been crossing the border.
You got that right. Yes. And I think, look, I think for everything that's out there right now, I think we have to have our head on a swivel because, mm-hmm. you know, again, 6.5 days, these deep state people do not want to cede power to President Trump, especially if his power will uncover the misdeeds and the evil things they have done and continue to do. They can't allow this to happen. So
they're getting desperate.
They are.
They're really desperate. And these last 6 days are going to be really something to watch, Doug.
And you know, even if nothing happens, and I was thinking about this, because we oftentimes speak of things that could happen that don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But don't, they do happen, but not, yeah, exactly. We cannot set the timeline on this.
No.
I do believe, for example, that we're going to see a drone attack.
Yes. Yes.
A massive drone attack.
We're going to see another assassination attempt.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean it's before the 20th. It could be, you know, it could be next month. We don't know. But we know there's a network still out there. We know that. You and I know that.
Yep. Yep. And President Trump knows that. But just so people listening know, they know what we know. So that I can guarantee you. And when you look at the assassination, the two assassination attempts, there have been more. People just haven't heard about them. But when you look at those two, specifically the first one, when you have what could be described as at least a dozen separate failures of security and intelligence, okay, and then you toss in the random nature of a shooter at that point. Well, in the book Bulletproof, the odds of that, 1 in 1 septillion. So, okay, yeah. But you're right, though. It's going to happen again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And the drones, that would explain a lot of the drone activity. That,
and did you have
these drones? I watched, and I believe I mentioned it to you, and you watched it too, but I watched the video of these Ukrainian soldiers that are pilots for these drones, and they sit like in a trailer somewhere, yep, and they hunt down Russian soldiers and kill them
drones.
And you know what? I got to tell you something. Watching that video sent chills down my spine, Doug. Because I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm very well trained in combat environment. And then I'm thinking, now throw a drone in there as part of your risk. Man, that, I'm sorry. It sent chills down my spine because I thought I would sure hate to be hunted by a drone. I mean, stop and think about that for just a second. One, would you see it coming? Two, once you realize a drone is on you, you're going to have to scramble. You're going to have to scramble far faster, far more effectively than if a human's on you. I'm just telling you. And it sent, and Doug has sent chills down my spine.
Now, if there is one drone, it's my view in today's environment, if you're going after a high value target like President Trump or Vance or whoever, you're going to, if there's one drone, there's going to be 10, there's going to be 100.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be orchestrated. It isn't like the drone's necessarily shooting, which it can do.
Yes.
Okay. But the drone can be just as effective as a Japanese kamikaze pilot.
Exactly.
And crash into the target or close to where you're at. And that, wow, when I was thinking about the risk. See, I'm concerned about this, all this outdoor exposure the day before the inauguration.
And the day of.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about all of that outdoor exposure. I don't think, they're talking about it's like a rally. President Trump doesn't need to have a rally. He's already won the election. In my opinion, my humble opinion, as safety, if I was in charge of safety, I would be very loud, outspoken against it. And as people have said to me, you know, on social platforms, well, don't you, you should be out there and leading. Yeah, there's a time and a place for that. And I just think that there's going to be some sort of attempt, possibly both days. I just, it's something, I get ideas and think about them, and they scare me of what can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't have an iota proof, Doug. Not an iota proof, but I'm very uncomfortable.
Here's what I've done. And so when was it? I guess it was earlier today. Time kind of just munges all together. But I think it was earlier today. I was looking at different message forums by Antifa, BLM, and such. Okay. The one thing I've noticed is there's really no talk. Remember in 2017, you had the Pink Hat Regiment, right? That massive Madonna pro, I'm going to blow up the White House, Madonna, mm-hmm, leading that, well, as one of the leaders of the Pink Hat Regiment.
Yeah, march. I remember that.
Okay. You had a lot of protests during and after the inauguration. You had, in fact, you can, folks, you still find videos, a limousine being blown up or caught, being set on fire, cars being turned over. You had riots everywhere. But the left, the legacy media doesn't want that brought out. But so as I was going through some of the Marxist forums, Antifa, BLM, some of the communist forums, some out in the open, some on the dark net. I have not seen any plans for any kind of organized activity. Mm-hmm. that concerns me as much as if I did see plans.
Mm-hmm. It's like when we used to watch the bad guys.
Yes.
And they would talk about chatter. You'd always hear it on the news. Oh, chatter's up, chatter's up. There's going to be an attack. No, chatter's up. We'd go ahead and barbecue this weekend. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's when it gets quiet.
Which, when it again,
gets quiet and things start vanishing. That's when the attacks came.
Yeah.
The largest attacks in the world between 2002 and 2008, truck bombings, train bombings, all of them. Chatter wasn't high. Chatter was almost non-existent. The plans were already in action. That used to piss me off no end that the government would even say that. As soon as they said, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be an easy weekend if chatter's up. It means there's nothing going on. I never understood why they threw that at the public, Doug. I never got that.
You know, when we were doing that work, a major movie was being made in London. Okay. And everyone would know the movie, and everyone would know the name of this actor. And I'm not going to mention names, but every time he had to fly from Los Angeles to London, he would call and say, what are you hearing? You know, any reason for me to not go today, you know, or tomorrow, whatever it was. And he'd base it on our findings that we would turn over. And, you know, I feel like we were pretty much right on target with this. But
yep. Absolutely. We were dead right on it. And I'll tell you right now, as far as I was concerned, the government was dead wrong. And I don't know if they did that on purpose, if they just, I didn't see the advantage to them lying to the public like that, but they were.
And they still are.
Yeah. Lies will never stop.
You know, when you look at things now, working from today backwards. Okay, so you see the fires in Los Angeles, greater Los Angeles area. And then we had, of course, the terrorist attack in New Orleans. Then, of course, we had the Cybertruck at Trump Hotel blow up. Hey, that's just the first, I don't know, first 13 salvo. Days.
First salvo. Because we used to know that many of the wildfires that were being started in the Northwest, we felt could possibly have been Middle Eastern terrorism, because they were very adamant. And it was funny that we were batting that idea around.
Yep.
And then I remember Osama bin Laden coming out and saying that the war wasn't just attacks. The war was watching the U.S. spend billions and billions of dollars protecting itself, whether there was an attack or not. And it was funny that they said that almost while we were speculating, could these fires be the work of Al-Qaeda? Because it burns resources like crazy. It kills people. You know what I'm saying?
It's chaos. Yes.
Oh, it's nuts. Yeah. So, I mean, we've suspected that as a possibility years and years ago, 20 years ago.
Well, exactly. But you know what we're not seeing right now? We're not seeing the presence of Department of Homeland Security, you know, communist cubal Mayorkas. We're not seeing him.
At all.
No, we're not seeing really hardly anybody. Now, it's getting to the point, too, where if you see Christopher Wray come out and say, look, we've got a possible terror threat. Are you going to believe them, folks? Wray, are you going to, whatever. This cut five, Randy Taylor, this, I think, fits into what we are seeing today and what we are going to be seeing, most importantly, what we're going to be seeing in the next couple of weeks and months. This is cut five. And this, to me, is a valid, legitimate warning. And I do believe part of this you can kind of squint and make the connection between the fires and what this warning is. So this is cut five, China targeting U.S. infrastructure. Believe this, don't believe it, but I'll tell you what, the threat exists. Hey, they could lie their behinds off, but in this case,
I recommend you believe it, ladies and gentlemen.
This, out of all the threats, this is one to watch. This is cut five.
In the latest breach, Chinese hackers successfully penetrated the unclassified system of the U.S. Treasury Department, specifically targeting the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, a key agency that oversees critical national security decisions. Tara, how concerned should we be about this serious breach by the Chinese?
Very concerned. This is something that should concern everybody here, because what is happening, this is unrestricted warfare that China is waging against the United States. And there is a really good article by the Wall Street Journal that really broke it down. Instead of looking at these events as isolated events, because you can go through just a litany of hacks. And the last one was, again, the Treasury Department that was just hacked again. The workstations there at the department were hacked by the Chinese in December. And then again, the massive telecoms hack by China as well that impacted a million Americans, including President Trump, J.D. Vance, and other political officials, where Chinese hackers were able to get into telephones and listen to conversations, record conversations, get their data. And that was another major hack. But what was very concerning about this is you have to look at it as the overall. You can't look at it in these isolated events. And this is part of China's unrestricted warfare against the United States. And this Wall Street Journal was pointing out that some of the things that China could be doing potentially is creating these sleeper cells in the United States to prepare for when they want to overtake, when they want to invade and take Taiwan. And that is very, very concerning, because let's say then they have these sleeper cells, which we know they do here in the United States. They can activate those, and those hackers are already in our systems. And like we saw with the Houston port, where China was able to hack the Houston port within 31 seconds. Also, they're hacking utility centers as well, like they did in Hawaii. And they're also attacking even the airport. They're able to get into airports, and these hackers are able to come back within months even to make sure that they can hack into our infrastructure like this. And so there's various things that they want to do. So the Wall Street Journal article lays it out in depth on just the threat of it. But we want to play a clip here, though, from Christopher Wray, what he was saying about this hack.
China's cyber program is by far and away the world's largest, bigger than that of every major nation combined, and has stolen more of Americans' personal and corporate data than that of every nation, big or small, combined. But even beyond the cyber theft, there's another part of the Chinese cyber threat that I think has not gotten the attention publicly that it, I think, desperately deserves, and that is Chinese government's pre-positioning on American civilian critical infrastructure to lie in wait on those networks to be in a position to wreak havoc and can inflict real-world harm at a time and place of their choosing.
The Chinese have already insinuated malware into critical American infrastructure.
That's correct.
Like what?
Things like water treatment plants. We're talking about transportation systems. We're talking about targeting of our energy sector, the electric grid, natural gas pipelines. And recently, we've seen targeting of our telecommunications system.
Well, Tara, why is he just now telling us this when he's resigning in a couple days?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, talk about your priorities at the FBI. The FBI has been so focused on going after Trump supporters, J6ers, concerned parents, calling them domestic terrorists, than they have been to actually do their job. And the fact that he's even acknowledging that right now that there are still those hackers, those sleeper cells of the Chinese still able to hack that information, like the telecoms, like our phone companies, we don't know if they're even secure at this time. And so that is the national security threat that you're looking at. And if China uses those hackers, if they activate those sleeper cells, if they're invading Taiwan, that's where they could pose public safety threats. interest to the American people. For example, if they could mess with our plane routes, they could do rerouting with the plane routes. They could tamper with our water facility treatment plants. Those are all things that they could do to be able to pose harm to the American people. And they could also slow down.
Ray should know better than anyone else because he allowed this to happen.
Yep.
In part.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And think about it. That's a disaster. Any portion of that, just imagine the banking system going down.
Oh, yeah.
For one day. Just imagine that. The chaos that would ensue. No gas, nothing. Nothing happens.
If you had a fistful of cash in your pocket, it doesn't mean you can go buy gas because gas pumps are computer controlled.
That's right. And there's no way to do the transaction.
Nope.
I remember, and what I picture is I've been through hurricanes where it was black. There was no electric. There was nothing. You drove down the street and it was dark. As if you had if you had patches over your eyes, you saw nothing. And then you picture that across the country or even sectors of the country, it would be total chaos and people would die.
I suspect this is the biggest threat. I think it's going to take place concurrently. I think you're going to have a cyber attack, and then the people that have been allowed to come into this country, compliments of Mayorkas and Biden and Harris and Ray and people like them.
And if anybody out there thinks that our law enforcement and our military are going to be able to handle this,
you're
dead wrong. You're dead wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, some of those people coming across the border, you're going to be out in the street killing them.
You did hear, and tell me I wasn't hallucinating this. They caught they intercepted a rocket launcher at the Texas or at the Arizona, I believe it was at the Arizona part of the border.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, I'd have to find the story.
Why not? Everything else is coming across.
Of course.
That would not surprise me at all, Doug. I would imagine there's several already in this country. That was one of the things we were concerned with Trump was, Stinger missiles. It's easy to take down an aircraft. You know what I mean? You can protect that aircraft all you want. As soon as that puppy takes off or is coming in for a landing, it's an easy target.
The exposure aircraft landing and takeoffs, that doesn't just apply to mechanical failure then.
You're talking, and with a Stinger missile, you just got to be close.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got that, it'll track that heat signature, and that plane's coming down if that happened. And that's always terrified me.
And I would watch, ladies and gentlemen, I would watch as close as you can to the movement of President Trump, President-elect Trump and J.D. Vance, their movements coming into D.C. while in D.C. And then I would just watch that because if... to me, if they're going to get him, it's going to be in D.C., in or around Washington, D.C. That's just my view. But that's based on, Randy Taylor, myself, we looked at the intelligence failures or maybe by design, most likely by design in Butler. And I'll say this, you couldn't be that much of a putz by accident.
That didn't just happen.
No.
And what you just heard, what Doug was just playing there on talking about, that young lady was talking about, what department did she say they hacked? Stop and think about that. Treasury Department. Okay. What else would be connected to a Treasury Department server? Maybe Secret Service? Think about it.
Yes.
Think about it.
Bongino was talking about how all of his records were compromised by way of a Chinese hack. And although he didn't quite say it, it wasn't too long thereafter. I mean, I'm talking about a day or two. He was expressing concern for the security of President Trump and saying, you know, gee, like you, I wish you wouldn't do this. Okay. Yeah. You know, these various functions.
Yeah. I just feel they're unnecessary. And I think they're a risk that does not need to be taken.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
You know what? Even when I had a company, a lot of the investigative work I would do, I had the company up front, and then in the back, I had my office and a lot of stuff back there. I used to get just beat up by Chinese hackers because they would go in a lot of the same places I was, and then they were trying to find out who I am. And I had to have my IT guy. If you remember,
I remember him.
Yeah, my IT guy, and I would put him on those hackers, and he'd just wreck their day. He would put them on a ping where he'd ping their IP right. address.
Right.
And he would sit there and leave it on that for days. Just to where, I mean, he was very good at denial of service. And that's what he would do to these guys.
And folks, Randy Taylor had quite the setup in his back office, and oof.
We were doing business up front, and we were spies in the back, and nobody was none the wiser.
Oh man, folks, wow, wow.
Those were the days, buddy.
Those were the days. And
I
speaking
think those
of
days,
that,
might be coming again.
Well, you know, and let's kind of not just isolate these incidents, although we can and should and do, but we have to look at the bigger picture. I mean, again, if you think about everything that's happened over the last 5 years with Biden, especially, don't think, for example, we played a CFIUS. I'm trying to remember what that's attributed to. Wasn't that China targeting CFIUS or no? Did we play that?
The young lady talking?
Oh, never mind. I'm losing. I apologize. I lost my place on this, but I thought it was in the context of China. Well, I know it was, but I'm not sure. But anyway, the bottom line is you've got the last 5 years. We have invited these hacks, Chinese hacks, into the country, and you might ask how that would happen. Well, when you have improper or even compromised IT security in this country, along with the hordes of military aged Chinese coming into this country, or operatives, you've got Confucius Institutes all throughout the U.S. You've got these Chinese police stations.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, but yes, they're there.
I mean, so, and then you've got the Bidens working very closely with the Communist Chinese Party. And so all of this combined, and again, working backwards, the fires, what happened on the first, the two incidents on the first, then you had, going backwards, the North Carolina incident, or the Hurricane Helene, and let's not forget about, Chinese spy balloon, the drones. We can't forget about the drones are still happening. And by the way, President Trump did say he was going to address those, address the drones in the first day or two of his presidency.
The media is just swept out under the carpet, though. That's, have you noticed
That's true. That's true.
That's crazy silence.
And why, when it was front page, so to speak, you know, and it's so easy for people to forget about things that happen. How many people now remember Nashville, the Nashville bombing on Christmas Day? What was it, 2022? I think it was. Patsy Cline playing, you know?
They don't. People have a short memory. And I honestly think that's by design. I really do. I think that the media has been programming and running you on these cycles, boom, 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 and throwing so much at you that you really can't focus on any one incident for a long period of time before they're throwing another one in your face. And we talked about this before, that 24 hours a day going in the background, you're being programmed. And if you think you're not being programmed, you're wrong. Shut the stinking thing off.
Man,
smartest thing you can do, shut it off.
That's exactly.
Because go to a doctor's office when CNN's on the TV and people are bored to snot. You'll just watch and they're all just sitting there glued to the TV. Glued to the TV. And think and watch them. Just watch them. It's creepy.
They're in that dead brainwave state, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep.
A couple of quotes regarding all of this. The FBI, DOJ, and this is from the Huber report back in September of 2020. So 5 years ago, rough 4.5 years ago, the FBI, DOJ considered this well-developed conspiracy of cooperation language so important that it redacted from the first FISA, public FISA declassification. To hold that thought, I didn't have a stroke. I'm follow my logic here. In 2024, Tucker Carlson's podcast, there's a whole other story about what the FBI has done on tagging Americans as suspected domestic terrorists and following us as we travel across the country. Notice that every asset available to law enforcement that should be proper law enforcement has been redirected to you and I. And of course, we know this. We've known this. But when we put it together with taking our eyes off of the real threat, Brennan saying, we put together a fusion center at CIA that brought NSA and FBI officers together with CIA. CIA involved in targeting many Americans is really a big problem. So we're seeing, by design, everything turned inward against the American people, as the Chinese, as the communists, as the Marxists, as people like Bass and others have their free reign. And they're able to not do things and get away with it, do things and get away with it. And, you know, here we sit now. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, I think we have to go back a little bit further in time to really unravel where we are right now. So just saying.
To understand where we're at.
Exactly.
And how we got here. It's the only way you're going to trace it. You know, I knew a guy that I'd use his services for different things. And he explained something to me about hacking. He said, look, you can set up a computer, you can fortify, you know, password, whatever, put a wall around it. He says, but let me tell you something. He goes, let's say you put a home automation system in. He says, I can walk in through your home automation system, the thermostat on the wall.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can walk right into that computer that you've fortified. He says, and once I'm in your computer, anything that you've ever visited in your computer, it goes, I now have a pathway into your bank. He goes, if you're working for the government, your office, the server at your office. And see, this is where common sense seems to escape many people in our government. They don't really understand, or they don't care what the threat is. But I knew this gentleman. He explained it to me. I'd used him for other stuff. I'm telling you. And he was just, he wasn't even a really complex hacker. You got these little Chinese guys, that's all they do. And I'll tell you what, well, there's nothing sacred. There's no secrets. And you really have to think about that. You hope that the president's suitcase, the nuclear suitcase is, you know what I mean, fortified. I mean, you have to worry about these things. And we're dropping the ball all over the place. And the war, and then the sad part is what Doug just mentioned, Biden has sold us out to the Chinese. Him and his family, him and his son should be in jail, if not under investigation. And I really encourage President-elect Trump to launch an investigation into Joe Biden and this whole Chinese thing, because we have a problem, people. We have a problem. Moore brought it up the other night on the show that the Russia wanted Canada and China was going to take the U.S. That was their plan. And what? Come on, guys. What else do we need to know?
That is a very good. It would do us well to remember that.
Yes, sir. Doug, we're going to, these people that came across the border, people need to understand we are going to be fighting them in the street in an effort to help law enforcement and our own military and our own, you know, National Guard and Reserves, if not federal, on the street. We have millions of bad guys came in. Millions. People need to understand that. And me sitting here saying this doesn't mean I'm some kind of radical nut that wants to shoot immigrants. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, these military members from different countries that have walked in the door and are basically mercenaries waiting for orders to spring into action and perform acts that are going to kill Americans if they don't kill Americans with their own hand. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to take them down. We don't have enough law enforcement, enough border patrol. We don't have enough of anything to take on probably 5 million of these people. And I'm trying to be conservative. 5 million. Get that number in your head. Get that number in your head, ladies and gentlemen. It's a real number. It's a real threat. If we had to fight an army of 5 million, let's say they just parachuted in one day, I'll tell you what, we'd probably get our asses kicked. At least in certain pockets, we would. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to get Trump in the White House, and the battle has just started. You know what? All last year, years coming into this, we were Trump, 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 Trump. We walked with you on this path, and we're still with you on this path. And it's important you stay with us on this path, because this path is the path to righteousness. This path is what's going to save this country. But Donald Trump and the federal government is not going to be able to do it alone. They couldn't take on 5 million soldiers right now scattered across the United States by themselves. It's impossible.
That's 100%.
It's impossible. Okay?
That's right.
You need to be ready, ladies and gentlemen. Be ready, because you may have to defend your country hand-to-hand, face-to-face, on your street.
Well, to your point, it's interesting because at, I think it was at 5:34 p.m. today, the, I just sent this to, Eric, I just sent this to you. The IC3, the Internet Crime Complaint Center, via the FBI and DHS, issued a warning or a PSA. Threat of copycat attacks after ISIS-inspired vehicle attacks in New Orleans. And it's dated today, and there it is on your screen. The FBI and DHS are issuing this public service announcement. Yeah, how prophetic and how convenient. To highlight potential public safety threat from violent extremists in response to New Year's Day attack. All right, talking about telegraphing stuff. And I think this is one of those instances, but keep your eyes out, you know, for, and I think it's going to be more of a,
at least they got it to where it's ISIS inspired, and they're not calling it ISIS, because that wasn't ISIS.
No.
Those were clowns, okay? When real ISIS shows up, you'll know it was real ISIS.
Yeah.
Oh, will you know it? Will we all know it? It's going to. You know what? Here's the sad part. It's not if, it's when. That's the part that keeps me awake at night. It's not if, it's when. They're here. We know they're here. We know they've already smuggled in weapons. They're stealing weapons. They're bringing weapons across the border. We have got basically military members and mercenaries from probably every major military in the world are now in our, inside our country. They're inside. And we don't even know if they're working together. But even if they weren't working together, any one of them in their group, it's got me pissed off and it's got me upset because I know what's out there. Doug, you know what's out there.
Yep.
We know they're there. We know they're there and they're just waiting for arms and orders. They're already being financially taken care of. Arms and orders. And when mercenaries strike, remember, they kill everybody. They kill everybody.
Imagine April or October 7th type of an attack that happened in Israel. Imagine that happening across the country. Instead of them coming into the U.S., they're already here.
Yes, sir.
That is the type of thing when something like that would happen concurrently throughout the country at the same time, different locations.
Think about just Manhattan. They could drive a vehicle into tunnels. You know what I'm saying? Anywhere where we have tunnels underwater or as highways, and blow them. And devastate, just absolutely devastate this country and the people in it. If and take down bridges. Imagine that. It sounds like a lot, but it's not. All they do, they could very simply, it wouldn't even have to be explosives. All they have to do is hijack a couple tugboats with barges and ram the bridges. It's down.
Gee, didn't that also happen last year?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
And imagine the chaos. I want you to stop and think about it. Anyone is, if you had 5 million soldiers at your disposal, imagine what you could do.
Yeah.
Most militaries in the world don't add up to 5 million men and women collectively in their military. We got them inside our border, ladies and gentlemen. We got a problem. So look, we got to get Trump in office, and then our next project is we've got to get these people out. And I mean, if you know where there's anybody, they're probably going to put an 800 number up and say, call this number. But they've got to go. These people have got to go. And if they won't go peacefully, then we're going to have to get them out of here anyway.
I was just going to say, I'll drag them out myself.
I have no problem, sir. Hopefully I'll be healed up by then, and we can kick some ass.
You literally being able to, maybe with a bionic foot. So.
Yeah, there you go. I'll have a specially designed with an RT, so every time I kick one of them in the ass, it's forever.
there you go.
Unbelievable. We are, ladies and gentlemen, we got our hands full.
We do.
2025 is not going to be a walk in the park. A lot of people are like, oh, come on, don't you guys like cheer up? And, you know, but no. Until it's clean, until it's cleaned up, until evil has prevailed over good, no, I'm not going to rest. I can't. I cannot. You cannot.
I don't think any one of us is going to be doing any resting. You know, the way things are going right now, I mean, who would have really in 2024 after the attempted Florida assassination in Florida and after, of course, everything we saw with Helene, you'd think, boy, 2025, man, it's going to be a good year. And again, we're 13 days into it. You've got 40,000 acres of high value property on fire. You've got so many other things going on. You still have the misery and death in North Carolina.
10,000 dwellings just in California.
12.5.
Yeah, okay.
But up to 12.5 now.
Think about that. Gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Unbelievable.
Yeah. This is absolutely ridiculous how things are playing out right now. And I think too, when you have Biden really doing the scorched earth. No, it's obviously it's not Biden, it's his handlers, but doing the scorched earth on the way out, we have a bigger problem. I mean, imagine yourself, even if you don't like President Trump, imagine walking into a situation where everything around you basically has been booby-trapped, you know?
Tampered with, booby-trapped. And I'll tell you right now, the legal stuff hasn't even started. There's going to be more Adam Schiffs and little assholes like that. They're going to come out and tell some lies. Don't think that they're going to pull the same crap they did before. And that's why it's imperative that these appointees get in place and that they don't. We've got to stop this where people get squeezed a little bit and they turn on Trump. We can't have that anymore. That has to stop. There has to be some loyalty to the employer, to their boss. There has to be. As a nation, we're loyal to the Constitution, but I'm saying the people that directly work for Trump, they need to be loyal to the guy.
Yes.
This crap of, you know, somebody's going to show a picture of you kissing some woman. So, I was there when Trump made this phone call and talked to Zelensky. Oh, yeah, you know what? This crap has got to stop. And I told you a million times how Doug and I and Eric could fix that. I was like, well, there wouldn't be people turning on him. That'd be the last thing he'd want to do.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. Somebody's got
to run cover for him, Doug. You're going to have to run cover for him.
Have you seen, there has been some infighting ramping up, but I do know that there are some people there that are trying to corral some of the infighting, because that's not going to do anyone any good. But the other thing I want to mention before I forget is to watch the upcoming pardons of Biden. Okay, he's got 6.5 days, and I have a feeling next weekend is going to just be a blast of pardons. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a blast of additional EOs, I think, or operational orders as well. I suspect things are going to go sideways. And now, lastly, too, today, Judge Eileen Cannon, essentially laid open the pathway for the first part of Jack Smith's report to come out. So when, in fact, Jack Smith's report shouldn't see the light of day, it's going to come out. And, of course, that's going to be used as fodder against President Trump. In case, folks, you haven't seen that, you can follow Julie Kelly on X or her Substack page. A lot of great information about that. But
he's gonna wish that report never came out.
You know,
he's gonna wish he'd never written it.
Do you think? Because, you've got two parts. You've got two volumes to this report. You've got the first volume of, I don't know, 800 pages talking about forgive me, I'm not sure, but the second
what is
part
whole case declassification. What exactly does his case boil down to? That's so devastating. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it's any specific one. I can tell you in just a second here. It's not just one necessarily one issue. Let me grab. Okay. So
this guy was imported as a hired gun.
Yes.
Go after Trump. He wasn't even working out of his office. You know what I'm saying? They brought him in. This is ridiculous. Anything that clown, that jackass right there has to say, okay, needs to be shot down. And if he does say any outright lies, Trump needs to sue him.
Yeah. I just as he needs to sue that, I don't recall the name of the gentleman that was interviewed. They called President Trump an insurrectionist and a rapist.
Man, I saw that. Bannon, yeah. I was watching it on Steve Bannon in the War Room. Bannon watched it play. Then he made him rewind it and play it again. That's how much it pissed him off.
And folks, on screen is Declassified with Julie Kelly. That's her Substack. Jack Smith's Final Stunt. I would urge everyone to read that. As well as, I'll mention this, Matthew Graves, who is a federal prosecutor in charge of J6 prosecutions. He's opposing all J6 pardons and will keep charging capital protesters. He says he does not want a pardon. Good. I don't think he should. I don't think he's deserving of one.
Wasn't he going to resign?
His last day is Thursday. Okay. And this guy's walking out the door filing charges against grandmas and...
Personally, I hope somebody kicks the shit out of him on the street. I really do. He's got it coming.
You might have an alibi. I don't. I was with you in church that day.
Absolutely. But you know what I'm saying? These people are so far out of line.
Man.
J6 was nothing. J6 was nothing. And for them to make something out of it, I have a video of Pelosi's daughter talking about it. It's pretty much a hoax. She's even saying it's a hoax. Yeah, I sent that to Eric the night I called in. It was the very first line. I had that video on there.
That was okay. And this whole the J6 committee, when you look at the Unselect Committee, was really an HBO production. Mm-hmm. Okay, stemming from the events of January 6th, where Pelosi admitted in the clip you're referencing that it was all of her fault.
Pelosi's daughter was saying, and she was basically saying, look, if we can just get them to buy the first one.
Yes.
You know, that the other ones will just fall in place. That's a damning, and you can tell the way that video is shot. She doesn't know that she's being videotaped from the angle. You can tell that's not a...
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
And anyway, we should play that on the show sometime. Maybe next time we're on.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it would be in the show. It would be in my really crappy show notes. My show notes were awful while you were gone.
That's all right. No worries about that.
But the ones for that, I think it was Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday night of last week when I, at the last minute, had to call off and have medical people brought to the house. But I had already turned the show notes in, and that Pelosi film is in those show notes.
Right. And now people know, I mean, I think a lot of people have seen it. We can play it. Before I forget, tomorrow, because of the solar activity, I asked Stan Dale to come on for, I think it's hour one. And then if you want to join me in hour two tomorrow, we can, we can get to that. I think that's the schedule. Let me just double check here. Yeah, that looks like the schedule. So hour one tomorrow is going to be Stan Dale talking about the huge rip in the middle of the sun. I don't know how many people saw that, but solar winds headed towards, terra firma here. That's going to be a big problem. So he's going to explain that. And then after that, you and I can get together and we can do this.
Right on. Sounds good. I think people really need to hear that. You know, things like that and the evidence being destroyed and you know, just all the different things that around J6 and that fake commission they had, all of that has to be exposed. It has to be exposed. Everyone in the country needs to see it.
I think if people really understood how choreographed everything was on that day. And the planning for that day began right after the election, the 2020 election.
What'd you say, Eric? We got a minute?
All right. We are out of time.
This has been fun, man. It's good to have you back, brother.
Hey, it's good to be back.
It's definitely good to see you again, my friend.
Yes, good to see you as well. Got to power through everything, and I know you're going to do the same thing. I appreciate your time, but we're going to see you tomorrow.
We are out of
time.
Folks, sounds good.
Thanks.